Amen. We're going to welcome Joe and Miss Sandy to come with Rhapsody Praise. Y'all give them a hand.
Just look around and see all the good things God has given me in my life. If I started today thanking for the blessing, I just get started if I pray day and night.
I want to thank God for the blessing given me. For everyone He gives, I'm so unworthy. From the food I get to eat, to the shoes on my feet, I want to thank God for the blessing given me.
When I wake up, the sun's shining bright. I have a nice place to lay my head at night. I got family and friends I love so dear. When I face trials of this life, no need to fear.
I want to thank God for the blessing given me. Everyone He gives, I'm so unworthy. From the food I get to eat, to the shoes on my feet, I want to thank God for the blessing given me. I want to thank God for the blessing given me. For everyone He gives, I'm so unworthy. From the food I get to eat, to the shoes on my feet, I want to thank God for the blessing given me. I want to thank God for the blessing given me.
Well, we are Rhapsody Praise, and we are from Spartanburg, South Carolina. And we've been singing for about 3 years, and Rhapsody Praise actually means an exuberant expression of an emotion, and that emotion is praise, which is our rent that we owe to God. So we are an exuberant expression of the rent we owe to God.
Sometimes in life, we face struggles, and we don't know why. We're tempted, and we're tried, but He's always there for us. And He always has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring, but I know God can handle anything. I'll just keep on trusting, believing His precious word. I'll hold on while He leads me here on earth. When I don't understand, I must remember that He has a plan, and He's working all things for my good. When my world falls apart, I can't see the light for all the dark. I'll keep believing when I don't understand. The doctor says there's nothing I can do. The banker says your bills are all past due. My life, my home has all fallen apart. All I do is sit and cry from a broken heart. When I don't understand, I must remember that He has a plan, and He's working all things for my good. When my world falls apart, I can't see the light for all the dark. I'll keep believing when I don't understand. When I walk through the valley or on a mountain top, Lord, make my faith grow stronger. Don't let it ever stop. When I don't understand, I must remember that He has a plan, and He's working all things for my good. When my world falls apart, I can't see the light for all the dark. I'll keep believing when I don't understand. Walking through those valleys and mountaintops, our desire is to be like Him.
It's my desire, live for Jesus. It's my desire, be like Him. Though oft I fail, calls Him a change. Is my desire to live for Him. Is my desire to help someone today.
someone who may have blown. Pray to Him. I too was once so lost, till I found my way to God. It's my desire to live for Him. If you could see Jesus broke me from where I am today,
until we realize that Jesus actually died for me, not for everybody, but for me. Until we make it personal, we won't have that relationship that we long for. So this next song talks about how I'm the one he died for. Not everybody, but I'm the one that put him there. It makes it very personal. And until you make it a personal thing, you can't ever have that personal relationship that your heart longs for. The Roman soldiers led to a place called Calvary. There he would bleed and die for everyone, including me. I just can't fathom why a man would give his life. But for this old rotten sinner, he laid down his for mine. I'm the one that caused him heartache. I'm the one that caused him pain. I'm the one that hurt him when I turned my heart away. I'm the one he came to rescue. I'm the one he came to save. I am the reason he had to die on that tree. Now as I look back at all my past mistakes, I know it had to hurt him, but still he took my place. And I know that I'm nothing special, but still, he chose me. And I just can't understand why he gave it all on a rugged tree. When I'm the one that caused him heartache, I'm the one that caused him pain. I'm the one that hurt him when I turned my heart away. I'm the one he came to rescue. I'm the one he came to save. I am the reason he had to die on that tree. Lord, you gave everything on crucifixion day. I can't understand why you love me so much. You would take my place. I'm the one that caused you heartache. I'm the one that caused you pain. I'm the one that hurt you when I turned my heart away. I'm the one you came to rescue. I'm the one you the reason you had to die on that tree. I'm the one you came to rescue. I'm the one you came to save. I am the reason you had to die on that tree.
With tomorrow being July the 4th, we'd like to do this song. There's people on the front line each day fighting for our freedoms to be in church like we are today. They give us the freedom to be able to do that. We have our first responders, our firefighters, our police officers. And if you are any of them today, we dedicate this song to you. Men and women on the front line, doing everything they can, trying to save a life of their fellow man. Firemen race as a clock, save a family of four. Plane shoot out the window, run to the front door. He don't know what tomorrow brings. He don't know his fate. He don't know when he'll take his last. He may not make it home, this whole world may change. He does it for me and you. He's the reason for glory's to wait. Stands up to a man, bringing pain to the little town. He's not afraid to stand up to him.
Y'all give them another hand. We thank y'all so much for taking your time coming from some far away. I know it's a big drive up, and we thank you for that. And we're glad to be here to worship and celebrate together today. And as we continue celebrating our independence, I want us to look at a familiar passage of Scripture today from John's Gospel, John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, which we're going to look through the paragraph there, but that's a famous verse that is near and dear to a lot of people, and it's been taken out of context throughout history by a lot of people. But today we are here to celebrate our independence. I hope that you are like Paul when he's speaking in Athens, that we understand that God chose where we get to live. And living in America, we are blessed with freedom. Freedom that we can worship Him. Freedom that we can learn from His Word. And I know today we often think that our freedoms are being imposed on, but we still have the freedom to obey God instead of man. And if we think about the freedoms that we have and what we celebrate, we're celebrating the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And the Declaration of Independence begins by saying we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, we know that this come from the Enlightenment, and some of this come from John Locke, where it was the pursuit of property. But the idea here is that God gives us all life. He gives us the freedom to live life His way, and we have the pursuit of happiness. That's the idea that we have in our independence. And I don't have time to go into how the pilgrims got to America and how some of the first Protestants got here. But what I do want you to realize is that this understanding of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness was something that's gone on since the beginning of time. It's something that has always been there. America was just blessed to have an experimental government that let us enjoy these freedoms better than anybody else has since Exodus chapter 17 with the Israelites. And so we are blessed here. But this idea of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is an idea of understanding truths that are endowed to us by our Creator. So this morning I want us to look and think about this a little bit. How can we know true freedom? How can we really be true? Jesus says that we can know truth, and that truth will make us free. So if you will, look at me with these verses, and we'll read. It says in verse 31, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, the first time I ever heard this verse, I took it a little bit out of context. You ain't going to believe this, but when I was little, I used to get in trouble every now and then. And for some reason, I was in there where Daddy kept all his stain. I grew up in the building business, and I decided to do some staining, and I couldn't find a rag to wipe it off. You know, because I had learned early on, you can put it on thick, wipe it off, and you can make it lighter, and you can see the wood grain. So I went over there to my mama's dryer and opened up the dryer, and guess what? There was a washcloth. So I did all my staining and everything went good. But then I got to thinking about it. That probably wasn't a good idea to use that washcloth. And I was pretty young. And I don't really know where I come up with this idea. But anyway, I went and hid the washcloth. And so, you know, when Mama come home that evening and she couldn't find her stuff in the dryer, you know, she thought she'd lost it or dropped it and was asking me if I'd seen it. And me there, you know, just guilty as could be with stain all over my fingers. I hadn't seen it. Amen? I hadn't seen it nowhere. Well, about supper time, it got to bother me so bad, I had to fess up and tell my mama that I had done lied, right? And so I'll never forget my mama saying, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I thought, I'm free. Well, guess what? When she told Daddy, I wasn't free. Amen. So I had took that out of context. You know, we often say, know the truth will set you free. Politicians will have a lot of stump speeches when they stand up, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But the problem is, if we depend on truth that man approves of, we'll always be deceived and led astray. Jesus says here, if you know the truth, you will be free. Let me read on with this, and then we're going to come back, and I want you to understand what truth is. In verse 33, they answered and said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, that means listen up. I'm fixing to tell y'all something very important. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you have heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you're seeking to kill me, a man who's told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we were not born out of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he has sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? Verse 47. He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. Let us pray. Kind Father, I pray as we look at this text this morning that, Lord, we can just for a moment still our minds and our hearts. Let your word penetrate deep, that, Lord, we can realize that true freedom only comes from our relationship with Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at this text this morning, I want you to look at verse 31. It's got a if then. It's got a condition. It's got a conditional clause here. And what it says here is that Jesus was saying to those Jews, which Jews? The ones that had believed in him. Now, if you go over, I was going to preach on chapter 18 this week. However, because of 4th of July, I wanted to come back to this truth. When Jesus was being put on trial by the chief priest the night before he was crucified, when they arrested him in the garden in chapter 18, and they took him before Annas and also Caiaphas, they asked him about his disciples and his teaching. And Jesus said to them, why do you ask me? Why don't you ask the people? I've never taught or I've never preached in private. I was in the temple, in your synagogues. I was preaching and telling you the truth. Pilate went on to ask him if he was a king. And Jesus said, yes, but I'm not a king of this realm. If I was an earthly king, then he said his disciples would come and rescue him, is what Jesus said. And he says, but I am a king, but not of this realm, of the heavenly realm. He says, for this reason, I come into the world I was born to testify to the truth. Pilate asked the most important question we can ever ask in life. What is truth? But he really didn't want to know, because the sad, sad ending of that verse says, and he went back out to the Jews. He didn't wait for Jesus to tell him. So that's why I wanted to back up this morning, so we could speak a little bit about truth and understand what Jesus has told us about truth. It says, if then. Here, Jesus is in the temple. This is what he told him. What have I said in the temple? What have I been preaching? What did God send me to tell you? He has already said that he is the living water, that those who are thirsty can drink without cost. They'll be filled, that rivers or floods of living water will go forth from them. It says he's talking about the Holy Spirit there after he's ascended back to the Father, that we would receive the Holy Spirit if we believed in him. He's also, in the temple setting, said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me, what? Doesn't walk into darkness. You're not deceived. You're not walking around everybody telling you how things ought to be and you're trying to figure it out for yourself. If you follow Jesus, you're walking in the light of the Lord, and the Lord will illuminate your path and help you understand reality. Now, when we talk about truth, that there's a law of non-contradiction, which means that if two people are claiming something is true, they cannot contradict each other. We live in a world now where everybody is, it's like my truth is for me. That's what's going on. Here's a quote. It says, for many, knowing the truth means personal autonomy, creativity, and freedom from oppression and ignorance, which they define as mental slavery. But Jesus didn't die to guarantee us personal freedom of expression. What that means is we live in a culture that thinks that we're free to determine truth for ourselves. Whatever's good for me is good for me. Whatever's good for y'all is good for y'all. As long as I don't encroach on y'all and y'all don't oppress me, guess what? We'll just get along. Everybody's truth will work. Guess what? You can't have two truths that contradict each other. Now here, when Jesus is talking to them, the problem is that they do not believe that Jesus' truth or Jesus' words are true. In verse 13, the Pharisees, when Jesus is preaching, says, you are testifying about yourself. Guess what? Your testimony is not true. They was denying that the word of God was true. That happens today. We don't even have to go into details or examples about how many times people say that God's word is not true, or they try to interpret it different than the way that God has written it here. But here, their problem is that they don't believe it's true. Jesus keeps preaching to them, and when we get to verse 30, it says that many come to believe in him. And you say, well, good, it was a revival. Everybody got saved. Well, Jesus is smarter than us. He knew this revival would be short-lived. Verse 31, Jesus is saying to those who believed in him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. It's an if then. And when he says, if you abide, this word abide, or continue, is the idea of remaining in, and it's in the subjunctive, which means this could happen. So if you choose to abide in my word, then what is the result? The result is that you will prove to be truly disciples of me. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me does not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So a lot of times we go through life and we might question a little bit, am I truly a disciple of Christ? Am I truly living a life that's pleasing to Christ? Question is, do you abide in his word? You know, sometimes when you think about abiding in God's word, we think that that means, well, I got to read my Bible every morning, and I'll get up early, and I'll check it off the list, and I'll read it before I go to bed, I'll check it off the list, I go to church, I make sure the preacher sees me with my Bible, or with my phone, with my Bible on it, and I got to do all these things and check them off the list. That's not abiding. That's working. Abiding in the Bible is, the end of Revelation says, let him who thirst come and drink without cost. In Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be satisfied. To abide means that we're thirsty for a word from God. Do you know why some people are more thirsty for God's word than others? Friends of mine that used to drink with me and we'd party, when God forgives us for all that walking in darkness and frees us from the things that we used to do, I see them just stay in his word. You know why? It's been hot, hasn't it, and humid. If you're outside in the heat and the humid weather, you're very thirsty. Have you ever noticed the thirstier you are, the more you'll drink? Here, the problem with these Pharisees is they didn't realize how bad their spiritual condition was. God says, you remain in my word, and you'll see how thirsty you are. And the more you thirst, the more I'll satisfy you. That's what abiding in the word means. Abiding in the word, it means that we want to put every area or every aspect of our life under control of the scripture. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, he says that it is the love of Christ that controls us, that we no longer live for ourselves, but for the one who loved us and died on our behalf. In other words, there's a hunger, there's a thirst to understand that God's word is the truth. I remember when I first understood this, I was like, you know, if you raised up with Christ and you're up here looking down, you understand that what God says is right, even though if the world's not working like that. But guess what? We don't have to live like the world. We can live like God wants us to. And when you abide in the word, you'll run into things. You ever been reading the scripture and you read it and you like, I wish the Bible weren't true, because since it's true, God puts all this stuff in here. You know, Paul says these things have been written as examples for you. When I'm reading about all the things, you know, and you got a hero like David, he's doing good, and then all of a sudden God told him not to count the people, not to count all the stuff he had of his own, you know, to depend on him. And David went ahead and done it, and it was displeasing to God, and David, you know, had sinned, and he had to repent. I'm like, man, I want to be like David, but that dummy done messed up. And then you get to thinking about it, and you think about how you've been handling situations in your life. how you not been depending on God, you depending on yourself. And God brings you to repentance. And you're like, but I ain't that bad. I know other people. Lord, you know how they are. That I'm not as bad as them. Abiding in God's word, that's when you pray and you say, Lord, help me see myself like you see me. Lord, help me get my life back up under your word. Help what you say be truth to me. Lord, change my heart so I like your way better than my way. That's the beauty of the truth of Scripture, is Jesus speaks truth into our life. He says he would send the Spirit of truth. When we're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells in us to guide us into truth. The Holy Spirit will keep convicting us of sin and guiding us into the truth until we repent from our old way and start walking God's way. And this is what Jesus says. If you abide in my word, you'll fill up on it. And let me tell you what abiding is not. Look what he tells. Here's the reason that some of these are not his disciples. And Jesus is truthful enough to say, y'all need to do a little soul searching here and see if you're really my disciples. He tells them here in verse 37 that I know you're Abraham's descendants. They're saying, look, Abraham's our father. We're the children of God. Sure, we got this. And he says, look, I know where y'all come from. I know who your grandma is. I know what they did at church. But guess what? You don't know the truth because my word has no place in you. No room. This is used two times in John's gospel. If you remember the wedding, when Jesus turned the water into wine, the pots was there. It says that they was filled up to the brim, and that word there says there was no room for any more. And if you get to the end in chapter 21 of John's gospel, he says that it's many more things he could have wrote about, but there's not enough room in the whole world to hold those books. Not enough room. That's what this word is here. Jesus says, there's no room for my word in your heart. If we're going to let God's word abide in our heart, guess what? We got to clean out some room. Remember when I first got saved and I was reading Revelation, I got to 3:20 and Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and he who opens the door, I'll come in and dine with him, and he'll dine with me, and I'll grant that he sits down on my throne with me as I have sat down on the throne with my Father. And I thought, Lord, my life, my heart, it needs to be just doors thrown open, and you need to come in and do some spring cleaning. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Company comes, the doorbell rings, you ain't sure who it is, and it takes two of you to get the door closed. You put so much stuff in the closet. You know what I mean? Or you have to let them use your master bathroom because the other one, you done hid all the stuff in it. Life is the same way with God. We got things in our life we don't think God sees, and we get it so full that when God's saying, hey, I want you to know something, I want you to know some truth, we ain't got no room for it because we've all filled up on our own desires, on our own things, on the own things that we want to do. And here Jesus says, look, if you make room for my word to abide in you, and you continue in that word, you are truly my disciples. So if you are a true disciple following God, guess what? You hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be satisfied. Why? Because you have mourned. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. You realize that something wrong in your life, and you ask the Lord to show you what to let go of, what to hold on to, how to change, how to change your heart so that your desires is to please God. And this is what Jesus says here. He says, and you will know. Now here, if we look at this, there's two facts here. So you got the subjunctive, which means this could happen, but it's conditional. If you abide, then you are. Okay, so here's two facts. If you are a true disciple of God who believes, how many people believe the Bible's true? All of it, right? even the parts we don't like and even the parts we find hard to follow is still true, then you're a true disciple of God. I hunger, I thirst, I feed on the Word of God. Charles Spurgeon said about John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, that he bled the Word of God. Can you imagine that? It says if you cut him, he'd bleed the Word of God. He stayed in the Word of God so much. Jesus said, look, here's two facts. These are the indicative. This is a statement. Jesus says you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So, what is the truth? Turn over. Jesus says to him in verse 34, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Here's what Jesus is saying. In biblical times, a house servant or a slave or someone that couldn't afford to look after themselves or they owed somebody something, they could give themselves to that master to do the work of the master, and they was a slave. We got a picture of this in the Old Testament with Ishmael, which got threw out of the house. Why? Because the real son come. So that's the picture. Guess what? If you're a slave of sin, as the Israelites said, look, we're God's children. We belong to Abraham. And Jesus said, no. If you are sinning, you're separated from God. You're a slave of sin. Guess what? A slave don't stay in the house forever. And then here's what he says, but the son does. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. Now, look what he says. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Verse 32. Then here in verse 36, he says, the Son will set you free. So you want to know what the truth is? The truth's got a name. It's Jesus Christ. Say Jesus Christ. Anytime you're talking about the truth, John said in the beginning the Word was with God and the Word was God. He goes on to tell us that Jesus come to reveal truth, to reveal God to us. He exegeted or he explained God to us. He is the truth. Jesus asked in chapter 17 that we not be taken out of the world, but we be protected from the evil one, that God sanctify or make us holy and set us apart for service to God. He said, sanctify them in the truth. And he said, your word is the truth. So the Word of God and the Son of God are the Word expressed by God, and that is the truth. So if you want to know true life, you've got to know Jesus Christ. You've got to be freed from the deception of sin. You are enslaved to sin. Think about it. It might be drinking. It might be lottery tickets. It might be gossiping. It might be shopping. It might be credit cards. Whatever that you're using to fill up the emptiness you have by not trusting God, that can become an addiction, which is a form of worship, that you're trusting in those things more than you are God. And Jesus is the Son, who's the truth, who can let you see that it's more to life than what you're trusting in. You ask Jesus and he'll forgive you. He's already said here when he's talking to these Jews in verse 28, when you lift up the Son, then you'll know that I am he, and I do nothing on my initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. He who has seen me, he who has sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Can you imagine that? That's the truth about life. Jesus sets us free. So, and here's the difference in the truth of the world and the truth of God. Jesus sets us free to do what's pleasing to God. We want to be set free to do what's pleasing to us. Do you see the contradiction? Sometimes we think, I'm free if I can do everything I want to. I'll never forget, I saw Chuck Thomas, he's our deputy now, down here in Lee County. He was working with us, and I was grown. He was a young man. You know, young people always think the older people, and I don't know if y'all remember this when y'all was teenagers, they think that the older people don't know nothing. we was putting on tin on a barn, and it was hot. And we was just a-working, and I'd send Chuck down to do something, and Chuck just did not like being told what to do. And I'll never forget him telling me this. He hollered back up on the roof, and he says, "I'll be so glad when I get in the Army." I said, "Why, Chuck?" He says, "I'm going to be my own man." I saw him right after boot camp. I said, "Chuck, that day we was working on the barn, you told me you're going to be your own man. How's that working out?" Chuck said, "Shut up." Y'all see Chuck, you can tell him I said that. But that's a true story. But we all the same way. We think that we can be our own boss and that makes us free. It don't. The only way you know true freedom is be under the control of Jesus Christ in your life. The only way you can be truly free is ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and free you from them sins. Does that mean that you still won't have struggles in life? No, it does not. Guess what? God frees us from some things and they never bother us again. But there's some things in our life that's ongoing that we'll continually have to deal with. Why? Because if we could do it on our own, we wouldn't need Jesus, right? Them struggles that keep showing up, and you're like, nobody else has to do with this. Why do I, Jesus? Jesus says, because I'm the truth, and I want you to know that you can depend on me. God on the mountain is the God in the valley. He says, I give you mountaintops so you can get your breath before we get down in the bottom. Paul says that we're not battling against flesh and blood, but by the powers and the principalities of the air. Here Jesus says that you'll know the truth, that is, you'll know Jesus Christ, and that truth will set you free from doing what you want to do and help you start doing what God wants you to do. That's what truth is, knowing Jesus Christ. Do you know why we read God's word? It's not to get God's approval. It's so we know more about God, more about Jesus. When Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Jesus had just told him that he was the king of creation. If the king of creation was going to speak, I wouldn't have went outside. I'd have stayed and listened. You know, when I started college, I was older in life, and I used to always sit on the front row and everybody pick at me. And in high school now, I tried to sit in the back row. Or like some Baptists, I tried to get far as I could to bump the door, right? No, I'm picking. But when I got to college, I was sitting on the front row. And these young kids, you know, probably 21, 22, was picking at me all the time. And they'd sit way up in the back. And they asked me why I sat down so close to the professor. And I said, because I'm paying my tuition. Your mom and daddy's paying yours. If I'm paying, I want to make sure I hear every word he says. If you think about Jesus Christ, he paid with his life so that we can know truth. If the Lord of your salvation speaks, you should open up and listen to his word. Because the more you know Jesus, the freer you are from the deception of this world. I'd like to keep going through all these verses, but I'll close with this. Paul tells a young man that he baptized and led to the Lord. He says to Timothy, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ and his kingdom and his coming, to preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. To reprove, correct, exhort with patience and training. And then he tells him why. He says, for the time will come when they, some of the disciples of Christ and the world, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will want to have their ears tickled, gathering to themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. They'll turn away from the truth and they'll turn to myths. In this, he told Timothy, he said, evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But verse 14 of chapter 3 says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and from your childhood that you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The time is coming when people will gather together, teachers, in accordance with their own desires. I was thinking about this. This word here for preach is hurl. It's the idea of someone going before a king. Before he gets there, they bring in a message from the king before he arrives to the villages or the towns or the little states before he gets there. And when we preach the gospel of truth, we preach into God's people that he is coming. Think about the other preachers that we have in this world. I was thinking about this week. The philosophies of this world have newscasters. And I'm not saying all newscasters is bad and all papers and all magazines is bad. But think about how much spin people put on events so that they can preach them to the public so that we'll assume that they're okay. 168 hours in the week. And we've got people preaching all kinds of untruths to us. If we abide in God's word and make a point like you did today, together and hear the preaching of God's word, then we can know more about Jesus, the truth. More we know about Jesus, the freer we are from deception. Did you know treasury agents, they don't teach them about counterfeit money and show them this one's the wrong color, this one's this. They have them handle real money over and over and over and over, so that when they run across a counterfeit bill, they'll know just by the feel and the texture and the smell that it's not real. Do you know that if we abide or if we fill up with God's word, the more full we are of God's word, the easier it is to tell when somebody's trying to deceive us. Do you know we need to teach our children that? Do you know our children are being taught all kinds of untruths? Just read an article, little girl's about fourth grade, said that she was confused because what they was teaching her, her teacher told her not to go home and tell her mama. And she says, my mom and daddy had taught me to always tell them anything. I could talk to them about anything. But I'm not supposed to tell them what I'm doing in school and what I'm learning. So who am I supposed to listen to, the teacher or listen to my parents? In Canada, they just passed a bill that if a school teacher and they're teaching transgender and trying to get somebody to change, if you step forward and try to give them conversion therapy to bring them back to the truth, you can get up to 5 years in jail. You get that? A country as close as Canada is to us, a school teacher can teach something, and if we try to unteach it, you could end up in jail. Do you see why we need to know the truth of Jesus and teach that truth to other people? John MacArthur just preached a message 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they took it down off YouTube because he said there's only two genders, male and female. They labeled it as hate speech. I heard him say the other day, he said, man, I've said a lot of things more hateful and more controversial than that. For them to take that down. But we need to stay in God's word. Because in the beginning, God said, at the end of Revelations, he He said, whoever's thirsty, let him come and drink without cost. We should be just as hungry for God's word and thirsty today as we was the day that we got saved. Let us pray. Kind Father, as we come before you today, I just thank you for the blessings that we have and the truth that Jesus Christ come to reveal our sins. He come and lived the life that we should have lived, sinless. And living that life, he showed us that we've all fallen short of your glory and your purpose. Yet he died the death that we all deserve. And Lord, he promised that if we would abide in his word, we would know him. And if we know him, we could be set free from sin. Lord, he was buried, and 3 days later, you raised him so we'd know he has told the truth. Sin and death could not hold him. And Lord, all we have to do is ask, and we're forgiven. Lord, all we got to do is ask, and you will help us. Lord, your word will show us the way. Your spirit will empower to follow us. And Jesus is always with us. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you know that you might even be a little confused. You're like, so many people tell me who I should believe in and what I should do. This text tells us that there's only one truth, and his name is Jesus Christ. If you want to be saved, you simply say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. I believe you was buried, and I believe you was resurrected, that I know I can have a new life. Please forgive me and take control of my life. Lord, help me walk in the light that I don't stumble. Lord, help me follow you wherever you lead me. If you've prayed that and meant it with your heart, you're saved. You say, well, I don't know a lot about God. That's what eternal life is for. One day with Jesus is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The longer we live with him, the more we learn. The first step is just to say, Lord, I believe you're true. And Lord, I want you to free me to follow you. If you hear and you've prayed that, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. If you hear and you've been saved a long time, My question is, there's so many things and so many flavors in this world. Are you still thirsty for God's word? You know, the thirstier we are, the more we'll fill up on it. The easiest way to enjoy something is to experience it day by day. Set a time in your life that you can read God's word. Start off easy. I'm not telling you to read the whole Bible. Read one verse or one paragraph a day, or read something just before you go to bed. And then let the Lord reveal to you the next day how what you've read is true. Kind Father, we just thank you that your word is true, that you are truth, and that by believing in you we can have life and have it everlasting. That, Lord, every day that we live with you, we learn more and more that you're true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We want to thank everyone for having us here today, and we hope that we have said something that's touched your heart or gave you a moment where you want to come closer to Jesus. He doesn't say you have to have the nicest car, the nicest clothes, or the biggest house. Just come as you are, and he will change you. Thank you.
say you are too broken to come to the Lord. You say you are not worthy to bow down before Him, but He's begging you, come as you are. Come as you are. Bring the pieces of your broken heart. Watch God do a miracle and form together just like you. Come as you are. Don't cover up the scars. He's a healer and the potter. So just come as you are. Don't wait another minute. He's calling out your name. He's gonna open up His arms and take you in today. Oh, He's begging. As you are, bring the pieces of your broken heart. Watch God do a miracle and form together just like you. Come as you are, don't cover up the scars. He's a healer and the potter. So just come as you are. He can mold you and make you just like Him. So come now to the Father and see what He can do. Come as you are. Watch God do a miracle and form together just like you. Come as you are, don't cover up the scars. He's the healer and the potter. So just run now to the Father, come as you are. Won't you come?
Amen. Thank y'all for being here today, and that is a great song, and just remember, whatever's going on in your life, you can come to Jesus just as you are. That's the great blessing that we have in our Lord, and you know, nothing we do is greater than God's grace. He can forgive us of anything. So y'all have a blessed week, a safe week, and pray for our country, and remember our country, and remember to, we need to restore the truths of Christ, not just to our country, but to our children especially, and to our grandkids and these younger generations. You know, we're never but one generation away from losing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the more we share that with people, and the more, you know, a friend of mine told me that his professor told him one time, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. The more we read God's word, the easier it is to just have it in regular conversations when we're talking to people, especially our kids. So remember that. Let us pray. Kind Father, thank you again for this day. And Lord, I just thank you for this truth. The truth that sets us free from deception of the world, from our own desires, from the lust of the eyes, the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. That, Lord, we can put our whole life under the rule of Jesus' love and know that he died so that we can live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all so much for coming, and the offering buckets are in the front, these white buckets. Thank y'all so much.